The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hope you're going to have a good time. It's a nice Friday. It is, August 18th, 2023. For the listeners or for the podcasters, if you want to give me a call, as usual, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. It's what gives you a heads up. We got a new phone system, a new thing. So if we have a couple of glitches right now, that's why. I'm just going to give you a heads up. So we're going to have Alan from Virginia on in a sec. We'll use him as a guinea pig. So hopefully it'll work. And we've had issues before. It's not a big deal. If you want to listen in, you can do it on, on Discord. Just go to the Carm server, look for my name. You can also go to Clubhouse and just look for my name. Listen there. And also on Rumble.com/ Matt Slick Live. All one word, and you can join in for the conversations and the apparent occasional jokes that we like to give and talk about and stuff like that. I have a lot of fun. There you go. See? Quick and slick. How about that? Let's see if we can get on the air. Let's try Alan. Alan from Virginia. You're on.
Hey, Matt. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, brother. I can hear you. What do you got, man? What's up?
So a few questions. So John 3:3 talks about being born again as a requirement to see the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
From this, does it mean that the elected can only be saved at some point after their physical birth and not during or before it?
Okay. Election means that before the foundation of the world, God chose who'd be saved. Predestination is God's work of bringing them into salvation. There's a doctrine called the now and the not yet, or teaching called the now and the not yet. What it is that a person could be elect but not saved. You know, might be saved at the age of 50. And so it's called the now and the not yet. And they're in that interesting state. I can expand on it. And so to be forgiven, this is where it gets interesting. The sin debt's canceled at the cross, Colossians 2:14. But the experience, the forgiveness when they trust in Christ. And that's when the actuality of it is manifested upon them, and that's when they're also justified. Okay?
Okay. But the elected are pretty much guaranteed to be saved at some point, but they're not saved at the start. Okay?
Right. That's right.
So does that mean that babies that die in the womb are not saved as they were never born, or does it classify physical birth at conception and not when there is separation from the womb?
We would say, I would say that at conception, that's when the new person is there. We don't know exactly how it all works. We just don't. But if babies go to hell when they die, or in abortion in the womb, then that's what's just. If they all go to heaven, then that's what's just. The Bible doesn't tell us. And so I don't say the way it is. I just believe that all babies and those who die in the womb just go to heaven if they die. That's what I believe.
I think I tried finding it, but I couldn't find it, or I didn't remember where it was. But there was some kind of quote where, like, a child died, and some people around him were not concerned. Or people around him were concerned, but he wasn't, because he said it's with God. What scripture it was?
That's David talking. I'm trying to find the verse. I know that. Let's see, where is this in that 32? I think, or something like that. I'm trying to find it, where he says he knows that he will see his son. David's son died, and he said he'll know. He knows he'll see him in the resurrection. So I'm trying to find that verse. I don't get to it very often. So it's in Psalm. Let's see. Yeah, I can find it. But that's probably what you're referring to. Okay?
Probably. I don't remember what state the child was in. I don't know if it was just conceived and not separated from the womb. I don't really remember.
Yeah, there's, I think it, let me try if I can find it. Is it, let's see, 2 Samuel 12, I think it is. Okay. And, now he has died, why should I fast? Can I bring him back? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. 2 Samuel 12, 23 is a verse. That's what David lost his child. Yeah, so it wasn't Saul.
Okay. Do we know at what stage the child was in?
I believe the child, right about the time he was born, a little bit before, a little bit after, it says the child died. So, yeah, that's right.
Okay, so it was born separate from the womb and died.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Yep.
I have two more questions, if that's all right.
Sure.
If not, that's fine.
Sure.
Okay. Are humans the only things that can be saved?
What do you mean by saved at this point?
Sent to heaven after existing on earth.
Hellfire, damnation. We're saved from the righteous judgment of God. Only humans can be saved in that sense, yeah.
Okay, so that means like no animals that existed on earth, for example, would be saved?
Well, see, salvation is from the righteous judgment of God sending them to hell. The question is, do animals go to hell? And we don't see anything in Scripture that says that. We don't see anything in Scripture that says that they go around sinning. So there's no redemptive work for them. So generally what we would say is that animals, when they die, they just kind of cease. With the new heavens, new earth, there'll be animals there. We don't know how it all works. God doesn't tell us. But redemption is for those of us who are people, because Christ is God in flesh and became one of us to redeem us. There are fallen angels. They have no redemptive work. And the fallen angels will stay fallen, and they will end up in that fiery abyss.
Cool. And my last one, if that's all right.
Sure.
If this radio show was ever canceled, would you still do Q&As? If yes, where would you have them?
Wow. Actually, we just talked about that today. Because a lot of ministries are hurting financially. So if we had to end this show, then I probably would do something on the web. We'd figure it out. We'd just figure something out. And it would be we'd notify people in the newsletter and or on the site where people can call in for questions and stuff. And I do a lot of stuff like that impromptu anyway. I do. We might use Zoom. We might have something. I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out. Why are you asking? Just curious.
All right.
Just curious? That's it?
It just came up. I think you're a pretty helpful resource for learning. And I'm like, I kind of want to figure out if there's a way to continue learning in the off chance the radio just suddenly got canceled or whatnot.
Well, one of the
things... I know you have the website.
Yeah, I was going to say the website. But I'm also doing more, and... Like, I'll be in Pennsylvania in a couple of weeks at a seminar. So, we hope to do more seminars. And I plan to be doing some online seminars as well, and have guests and things like that. And then I'm also on Clubhouse and on Discord. And I just kind of show up when I show up in those places. And because I'm well-known in those groups... then I just go into a room and it kind of evolves into me just answering questions. And that's not what I go in there for all the time.
Okay.
It kind of happens. So there's that. Mm-hmm. We would do something where we're, trying to... Cause I love doing that. I love answering questions. And I just wish my wife would believe anything I said. That's what I would like.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the service you're doing here.
Well, thanks, man. Praise God.
Right.
So,
thank you.
If you're not too far from Pennsylvania in Indiana in a couple of weeks, you want to drive out to Indiana, Pennsylvania. It's probably too far, but anyway, we'll be there. So,
okay. Sounds good. All right. Thank you, Matt.
All right, man. God bless. All right. That was Alan from Virginia. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. So for Keith, I tried the trash can thing. It didn't seem to work. I don't know if it did or was delayed or not. You let me know. Or if you did it. So we're working on the new system and just do you know, it works. All right. Hey, I want to let you guys know we have a Karm wish list on Amazon. And I just unearthed it. I've rarely mentioned it, but we have stuff on there if you guys are interested. And it's a good way to help the ministry. We like to have things that are helpful. A backup link, the CAM link, it's $100. We have a backup SSD drives for storage, things like that. Anyway, the kind of stuff like that. It's an Amazon wish list for Karm. Let's see. Let's get to Dave from Charlotte, Wilmington, North Carolina, that area. Okay. Welcome, man. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt.
Hey.
Hey, Matt, you
so
hear
what
me?
You got? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Yes, back in the 80s, I spent some time in a King James-only independent Baptist church, and they taught that the King James was the only inspired word of God, and they claimed that all 66 books in that King James Version were inspired of God. And I was in a Christian bookstore one day, and I saw a facsimile. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, but a facsimile of the original 1611 King James, including the old English language way of talking. And they included the Apocrypha. And I had been told that 1611 King James was not, I mean, they said it was inspired, but they also said the Apocrypha wasn't included. And when I found that Bible in the Christian bookstore, it had the Apocrypha. And I do you know anything about this Apocrypha being in the original King James?
Yes, it was not considered scripture, but it was just a part of the translation work that they did. It was included in there, but it wasn't supposed to be scripture. So that is an issue to bring up, to raise to them. Also, you're right, the 1611 version, you know, I've seen copies of it in words. It's hard to understand. And if they're going to say that it's inspired in the English in 1611, then why aren't they using that? Why aren't they doing that?
Exactly. I wondered that, too, because they've got the updated King James Version, which they
well, that's
use.
Not the inspired
and
one.
It still has all, yeah, it still has all the these and thous and stuff in it.
Yeah.
But it was a far cry from what I saw in that Christian bookstore.
That's right. And it is a problem, and they're inconsistent that way. You know, I just was talking to a guy who said 1611 is the inspired version. And I said, well, if that's the case, then all other Bibles all over the world should be translated from that, right? Not from the Greek or the Hebrew, but from the 1611. He said, that's right. And, you know, it's just indefensible. And it's a form of brainwashing. Something happened, they got brainwashed.
Okay, I wanted to ask something else related to that. They have had sermons where they compare the King James to the NIV or the NASB. And they say, see where the NIV left this verse about the blood of Jesus out of their scripture, and see how they left the verse of you know, and how do you deal with someone like that?
What they're doing, they don't realize, is that the King James was done with 5th, 6th century kind of documents in the Greek. And since the King James was translated, they found even older manuscripts. And the older manuscripts, as a general rule, are more reliable than the newer ones. So this is why they have a problem, and they don't understand. Plus, the King James makes just blatant translation problems, errors, like Titus 2:13, Romans 5:18. Hey, man, we got a break, so hold on, okay?
Okay.
Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. Dave, are you still there?
Yes, I am. I just want to say thank you so much for answering people's questions and being the way you handle atheists and non-believers and non-Trinitarians and everything. You're very polite to them. I can see sometimes where you get a little irritated because sometimes these people are so dense. But it's the way you talk to people. I can see why you've been in the business for the last 40 years of being an apologetic, because your demeanor is not offensive. I notice on the forums in Carm, sometimes people talk to each other rather hatefully, but I'm just thankful that you are the way you are.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. You know, I try and be try and take the Word of God seriously, where it says be gentle. And I used to be like a bull in a china shop, and over the years, just gotten to be better by God's grace. So that's what I try and do: listen and deal with the issues and stuff like that. So praise God, man. Praise God.
I want you to know, Matt, maybe you can keep me in your prayers, but I have multiple personality disorder, also called dissociative identity disorder. Okay. And sometimes I'm an atheist, and I just want you to know, so you can pray for me about it. I cycle frequently, and sometimes I'll go for weeks and I'll be a Christian, and then sometimes I'll be an atheist for a few days or weeks. It depends. I cycle very quickly sometimes, and there's a number of personalities, and one of them is a polytheist. I even called you one time as a polytheist back in May, I think it was, and I just go through these cycles, and it creates problems with some people because they don't understand DID, and I just want you to know that. So in the future, if I ever call and I'm an atheist or something, you'll understand, and can actually, the people that are in the forum, the people that are in the chat for this show can pray for me too. They know who I am. They know my name on the chat. And I just thank you so much for being kind to people, because I want you to be kind to me when I'm an atheist. You follow what I'm saying?
Well, hopefully I'll remember.
Thank
if that
you
comes
so much,
up.
Brother.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay.
Very interesting. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
All right. There we go. All right, that was Dave, and now we've got, let's get to John from North Carolina. John, welcome. You are on the air.
Hi, this is 1 Minute John.
Okay.
I'm actually traveling up to New Jersey.
All right.
A friend called me when we were talking last Wednesday and said, oh, get married. They're in their early 60s, late 50s. Okay. A little late for a baby or something, but so he's getting his everything together because on the 25th he goes in for pancreatic cancer operation, so prayers to Will. But Jewish friends, going back home, finally getting to go the homecoming that I missed last July, and I've always wanted to breach this with them and never really know how to do it, but you know, to or understood why at this time Jewish people are still animate against Jesus, and you know, my thanks to them, because they had to do this and reject them in order for us to be grafted in. If they didn't,
yeah, there's a partial hardening on that. That's why.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that I can, you know, breach this subject and have a good discussion with them. We do go through some really good discussions and whatnot. They're my extended family. And
yeah.
Love them to death. But,
well, like it says in Romans 11:25, for I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you'll not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. That's why. But it doesn't mean you should not witness to them. It doesn't mean you shouldn't do that. You should. And we just don't know how it all works. So just do that.
Yeah.
And just, you know, be pleasant and faithful, and just ask them. I ask them the same thing, all people, how are your sins forgiven? Like, you know, before an infinitely holy God, how are they forgiven? And are you doing it? And that, you know, that's just a question, and it's not much. I need to say, I'm trusting in Christ who died on the cross, rose from the dead. And that's it. Plenty. You're done, you know.
Yep.
And without pushing it. Yeah.
The other caller was very interesting. I never even really thought about people with multiple disorders that could flip like that. That's an interesting question towards salvation.
Yeah, it is. I've had that question before. Ooh, excuse me. We talked about people who have DID and multiple, personality disorder. And, I just say God will figure it out. God just, that's just beyond me. God will figure it out. I would think that if they have trusted in Christ and they go off the rails for a week or two or three, it doesn't mean they're not saved. And we don't know. I mean, I'm reminded of Nikola Tesla, if you've ever heard of that guy. His brain was just incredible. And he's on the far end of the bell curve, He's way over there, and this super genius. I mean, just incredible. And then we have people on the other side who are just not very bright at all, and like Democrats. And so then we have in the middle and certain varying areas, we have people who have all kinds of problems. And so that could just fit in there. It's just kind of a norm, Okay.
Yeah. Nikola's, that's one of my favorite places to go when I'm up in the Buffalo area. Go to Niagara and take the tour. I mean, to think that thing, held most of the country with electricity and was built so long ago, and they're still using the same generators.
Yeah, Tesla did that.
Incredible. Yeah.
He's a hero of mine. Yeah, him. He's incredible.
Mine too. But, so is Elon.
But he's just an example of what minds are capable of in a good way, and his minds are capable of things in a not-so-good way. So there's just the brain is complex. All right, buddy. Well, there you go.
So one other thing. I did find a text translator. Can you send me an email address that I can get you the what I'll do is I'll do the purchase for you. And you can test it out.
You're that John. Gotcha.
Yeah. 1 minute John.
Yeah. Oh, now I got it. Okay. Yeah. Because I talked to so many people. Info@carm.org.
You contact me there. I'll give you.
What's that?
It hit me as I called in. I tell them, I'll just be 1 minute John, and everybody knows.
Now I remember, I'm not sure what it refers to, but you send me an email. And then I'll give you another email from there. Okay?
Okay.
Then,
I'll send another one with the GPCT chat in it, and then you can
pop
that back.
Sounds good, buddy. Okay. Hey, there's a break. We got to go. God bless, man. Thanks a lot.
Have a good weekend. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Good stuff. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Oh, man, I got an interesting kind of an email. We'll kind of get to that a little bit, maybe. Oh, that's right, today's Friday. We do hate mail on Friday sometimes. All right, let's see. Let's get to Alberto. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Yeah, my question is, why are these Pentecostals with Armenians can say what we say in theory and theology, but in the practicality, they practice the very thing they're teaching against? You know what I'm saying?
I'd have to know exact examples. So, but...
Like example, that the preacher can say what we say, but if you ask them what year they got saved, then how many sins they committed since the day they got saved to the present day. You ask them that question, they probably say 1,000 sins, but then I ask them, well, are you still saved? They say, yeah, but that means you probably didn't say, well, saved then, see? They're hypocrites. Because they truly believe that you can lose your salvation, the very instant you sin, you lost it right then and there. That's it, it's over.
Right.
Boom, boom.
They're inconsistent.
But
they don't understand proper theology.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. I have a question.
Sure.
I got a question. Something I don't agree with about you said the other guy yesterday, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. You said that all. But if you read the whole context, it refers to Christ died for every person. He died for humanity. It doesn't matter.
No, it
matter.
Says this. Well, here, no, there's a thing. It's just that what I try and do with people is get them to not just read a text, not just, and just that's it, you're done, but think. What is it saying? For the love of Christ controls us. And that's an interesting statement. How does God's love control mm-hmm. us? Okay. Having concluded this, mm-hmm. that one died for all, therefore all died. Well, what does the phrase, therefore all died, mean? See, he said making a statement, one died for all, therefore all died. Well, what does all died mean? And this is when I will talk to people, and I'll ask them the question, and they don't know. They haven't done their homework. Well, I have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we find that only the those who've died in Christ are the ones who are going to be mm-hmm. alive. And so... Mm-hmm. And, you know, in Romans 6:8, you know, we die with Christ, we're crucified with Christ. And Colossians 3:3 mm-hmm. talks about it, that we've died with Christ. Well, there's a pattern in the Bible that the only ones who died with Christ are the believers. So if you said you died for all, or mm-hmm. all died, you have a problem if all means every individual. I'm just showing it. It's just, there's problems like that. And so I ask people, mm-hmm. take a look, do some thinking, and what's going on. Don't just assume that they just automatically understand everything that's being said real quickly. You get a lot of, what's all that noise in the background there, man? You get a lot of noise back there.
It's my bottle, sorry.
Yeah.
Getting out of the car.
Okay. And so I just try and get people to, you know, first you read it. You know, it's like John 3:16. You know, God's love the world. The word world means every individual. Well, how do you know? How do you know it's what it means? How do you know it doesn't mean nation groups? You know, how do you know? And people just assume so many things because they're taught so much weak stuff in churches all over the place. And they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're taught a lot of mm-hmm. weak stuff. All right? Okay?
Yeah, look at the pastor, because the pastor themselves don't know proper theology.
What's that?
The pastor themselves don't know proper theology themselves.
A lot of them don't.
Pastors.
A lot of them don't. That's true. But there are some good preachers out there. You know, Paul Washer, Vody Bach.
Yeah, I watch Paul Washer. Yeah, I watch him. Some people don't like him, but I like him.
I like a man who's going to tell the truth. And he's more afraid of God than he is of men. That's what mm-hmm. what I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Vody Bachum's like that. He's a good guy, too. So, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
All right. All right,
buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right, man. God bless. Bye-bye. All right. All right. All right. Now, let's get to, let's see. That's the next longest waiting is Wes from Florida. Hey, Wes. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. We talked a couple days ago about the King James Bible. Had a good long conversation about it. Are you up for talking about it again, or are you done?
Oh, I can talk about it again. But I remember, if you're the one I remember, that you were unteachable.
Okay. Okay. So, does that mean that you're done talking to me, or do you want to talk?
No, I can talk.
The
to
original,
you.
I just
believe you're unteachable. I give you evidence, and you ignore it. You just flat out ignored it, and you know, okay. Because you're so loyal to King James. But that, you know, that's your position. That's okay. So what do you got?
Well. I felt like we had gotten off track from the original question that I had, which was your theory of inspiration. Where biblically did you see that God only inspired and only breathed out or breathed on autographs and not copies and not translations?
He didn't breathe on the autographs. Okay.
Okay.
He breathed through the people who were alive that what they wrote was inspired. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Now we have.
Is there
copies.
Some biblical place for that?
Yes.
You talk a lot about, you know, not going outside of Scripture. Where in Scripture are you getting that from?
All Scripture is inspired of God. The word Scripture there is graphe. Graphics, writing, is inspired, theopneustos. All Scripture, mm-hmm. the written word, is what's inspired. Okay?
Okay.
2 Timothy 3:16. All right?
Right. And then in verse 15, Timothy has the Scripture, but all he has are copies. So my contention with what you're, with how you're translating that, or how you're interpreting that rather, is that if Timothy had scripture, then he had something that was given by inspiration. But I have a problem with folks who say that you can't have something that was given by inspiration unless you have the autograph.
No, you're not. You're not.
He didn't have the autograph.
So, if Timothy were to have gone to a synagogue and somebody opened up a scroll of the Old Testament and read it, he's hearing it. Is it inspired? Of course it is. Yeah. Okay.
So the copy that he's hearing.
Yes, I have no problem with that. We have copies of the inspired, right? Copies of the original. And they are, for all intents and purposes, we consider them to be inspired. All right? But the King James is not inspired by God in the English. Okay? It's not how it works.
I just, do you at least see where I'm kind of, where the disconnect is in my mind? Do you see where I'm having a problem with that interpretation of it? It feels like there's a disconnect
I don't understand what your problem is. I mean, what's your goal? I think you're kind of cryptic. What's your goal? You're trying to say the King James 1611 is the final word of God, perfectly inspired in everything it says in English? Is that it?
I feel like the general modern understanding of inspiration, saying that only the originals, only the original autographs are given by inspiration, is not biblical. And therefore, it opens the door for us to say today that we have no copies or translations that are given by inspiration because we don't have the originals. And that opens the door for people to set up their own authority.
No, you don't understand. You're not thinking critically.
I don't understand your position, but that's for sure.
I try to tell you, but there's something else going on in the back of your head you're trying to filter it through. And that's the problem.
Okay?
When you have an original writing, that's inspired. Absolutely. When they copy it, you have a copy of an inspiration. Is that copy, if it's perfect, is it inspired? Well, yeah. It's inspired because it's the Word of God. If I say something in Spanish that is from the Greek, is that in Spanish inspired? Well, yes, it is. Because it's God's Word. But the originals are the autographs that were inspired. We have copies of them. The inspiration is conveyed through the written, spoken, translated Word of God. And what we have is inspired words. So an English sermon, I go and listen to somebody in English, and they quote me the Greek. Say they go to John 3:16, explain the Greek, read the Greek. I understand what the Greek says, and then they talk about it in English. It's not an exact translation because it's not. You know, for it says literally, for example, in the Greek, you know, God's love the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that all the believing one would have everlasting life. It doesn't say whoever. And so that's what the literal translation is. But I understand what the meaning is, and so do the translators. So they say whoever. And so that's inspired. It's fine. It's inspired word because it comes from God. It's sourced from Him. Okay. All right.
But not the copies. Not because I've heard you say before that there's no copy that copies it perfectly. People make mistakes. They copy the wrong word. They introduce variants and things like this. So how could you call that given by inspiration?
The ones who copied were not inspired by God to make it perfect in their copies. That's what we're talking about. Hold on, we got a break, okay? Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on with, let's see, hit the right button here. There we go. With Wes. Hey, Wes, you're back on the air.
Hi.
Okay. So where were we?
So I think I may have an idea of why I'm not getting, like, you know, getting my... what I'm saying across, or why there's a little bit of confusion. Could I read a couple sentences to you from a theologian?
Sure.
Okay, so this is this is a mainstream theologian, Michael Byrd. I know that you don't agree with everything that he says, but just to say that this is not like some kind of out there, nobody believes this. I don't understand what I'm saying here. So he says, a high view of Scripture should embrace both the Holy Spirit's inspiration of authors as well as the Holy Spirit's sanctification, including the composition, editing, transmission, and canonization, which gave us the Scripture. Inspiration and sanctification must apply to the entire phenomenon of Scripture, not just the autographs.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's doing. Look, here's a simple way to falsify that. I can prove it false.
If you say, okay.
It's easy. Look, he says that inspiration must include the copying, right? Right?
Right.
Then why do we have copying errors? Because we do.
The inspiration, okay. You don't want to answer what I believe about that, or are you just saying, like,
you read a quote. I responded to the quote. Inspiration means it's God breathed. God doesn't make any mistakes. If he's inspiring somebody, there's no mistakes in it. If there's a copying error, then how can it be inspired? The individual and his copying method, how can it be inspired of God if he makes a copyist error? Accidental inclusion, accidental omission, a purposeful inclusion, purposeful omission. We have copying errors. We have
God takes, according to the Bible, God takes the words when they are pressed that express God's word, the overall message, and he puts his Holy Spirit's stamp on that to call them his own words, even including things like minor errors or anything like that. I can prove my theory of inspiration from Scripture, but I have not heard your theory proven yet. That's where I'm struggling.
I showed you what it was right from Scripture. I quoted you 2 Timothy 3:16. I quoted it to you. Look, the copyist...
That's in reference to copies.
No, look, I'm telling you, the copiers, the ones who did the copies, they made mistakes. Not a whole bunch, but they did. Do you acknowledge that?
Yes, and God claims those when they are still faithful to the broader message.
I didn't ask for a lecture. I just asked a simple question. Do you acknowledge it? It's all I asked. And the answer, of course, is yes, they did
100%.
It. So are you saying then that when different copyists have copied something and you get slightly different renderings of the exact same verse because of it, are both then true and inspired?
If they are both consistent with the word, then yes. And if they are not consistent with the word, then they are not inspired.
Then the King James, you should chuck it, because Romans 5:18, it blows it royally in that verse and just butchers it. Okay? So if you want to come along and say that the copies, the inspirers, the translators, and all this are inspired, then why does the King James mess up Romans 5:18 so drastically? And I can tell you why. Because they had a theological presupposition they imposed upon the text, and they got it wrong. I know this very well. And I'm telling you, they blew it. Now look, the King James is a good Bible. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, it's just this King James only stuff, it's got to die. It's just got to die. If you like the King James, okay, use the King James. But do you use the 1611 version of the King James? Do you?
No, I use the 1769.
Oh, so you don't use the inspired one.
It's the 1769 Cambridge edition.
So you don't use the inspired one, which is the 1611. Because you said before that the 1611 was the one that was inspired in the English. Well, and you don't use the inspired one now, do you?
They're both given by inspiration of God. Because I believe
we have
both of them can be given by
two Bibles.
Yes.
Two Bibles. Have you ever seen a 1611 copy?
That's my point.
Okay, we're going to move along.
The book of Jeremiah
You're just irrational.
Was written in two
We're moving
columns.
Along. All right, it was nice. Okay. This gets to be ridiculous. Look, here's a point I'm going to just leave with this, folks. You've got to think critically. He said even the copyists, the people who copied were inspired, and yet it does happen. There's some few verses where the stuff that's in it is a little bit different. saying that those differences are now inspired. So now you have an original, then you have two different ones, and those are inspired. It just does not make sense. It does not make sense. And I just can only go so far, and I'm like, I'm done. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. So let's get to Jesse from Las Vegas. Jesse, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Matt.
Good evening. How are you doing?
So I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Sure.
So my question is related to deliverances. So okay. I've been, you know, seeing a lot of videos recently on YouTube and social media on deliverances and people getting healed and demons being casted. But it seems like some of these pastors are doing it very frequently. And I'm not necessarily saying that it isn't real, or I do believe that deliverances are real, but I wanted to get your input on how us as Christians should approach, these deliverances and demons being casted or whatnot.
All right. So first of all, it is biblical for today to cast out demons, to deliver people from various things and to heal. Is it normative? Well, that's another question. So can it happen that people do this and cast out demons? Of course. Sure. However, what we often see in these circles where this happens a lot is abuse, misrepresentation, false things. And so we have to be careful. We can't just say, well, those guys do bad things, so therefore deliverance is false. We just say it's the true things that are imitated and corrupted by the enemy. And so these things do happen in that, yeah, there are real deliverances. People can be delivered and healed. But we have to be careful and not just say that it happens all the time. And these guys on TV and these guys, you know, I'm with you. It's a problem, all right? It's a problem for what's going on, okay?
Yeah, and no, that makes sense. My other question is, I also see that some pastors, when they profit over people and say, well, you know, the Lord told me that you've been struggling with fornication, and then they're like, yeah, I have, and then they'll immediately assign, okay, well, you have this demon in you,
right?
So we're going to cast it out. Is that necessarily true, that every sin is attached to a demon specifically, or
no.
Not necessarily?
Sin, fornication's work of the flesh and the desires, and I've seen this kind of bad practice. You know, you have the spirit of apathy, which, how does that happen? How's a demon of apathy going to do anything? You have the spirit of lust, the spirit of this, the spirit of that, so you're all possessed. So what's going to happen is the pastor now is the one who has the authority to deliver you, so now you got to go to the pastor and or that church congregation for the deliverance, because now it becomes the means by which you're delivered instead of Christ himself. So a lot of times what they do is they say, I will deliver you, and I could see this, and I could see that. You know, if you're in a church, and you learn to read people, and you can say, look, you're guilty of fornication. You know, a lot of times you're going to be right. So, you know, Justin Peters, he's a great apologist, and he works against this kind of idiocy. And he told me a story where Rodney Harwood Brown, I think it was healing people on stage. You know, heal him. And he walks up. He's got cerebral palsy, and he has to have crutches to get around. And he walked up and healed me, you know, and it didn't work. It didn't work, you know. And so, you know, when it's really tested, that's another thing, is falsifiability. You see, if you say you have a demon and then you cast it out, how do you verify that's the case? Now, if Justin walks up and he's got problems, I've done stuff with Justin. He's a great guy. And he's got, you know, he has this handicap. He's born this way. Well, if that's the case, and I know him, and he goes up and a pastor heals, you know, not a pastor heals him, but God heals him through that, hey, verification, no problem. But how do you verify that a demon's been thrown out? And so this is where a lot of them work with. They can whip you up emotionally. They can say certain statements that get you to think you're possessed and act a certain way, then cast this demon out, and now you're relieved, and it's all imagination. It can be that way. It could also be the case that legitimate casting out can occur. I'm not just lumping it all together, but we've got to be very, very careful and discerning. Okay?
No, that makes total sense. I appreciate your knowledge and input on that.
Sure. Sure, no problem, man. All right?
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, man. God bless. Okay. That's Jesse from Vegas. Let's get to Bob from Lafayette, Louisiana. Bob, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man. I was talking to you before yesterday.
Oh, I know who you are. I recognize your voice. Yeah, I know who you are. Uh-huh. So what do you got? What's your question?
John.
You know what? The connection's so bad. It's like you're roboting. It's really bad. Maybe you might want to move someplace. Maybe just an interference, or maybe even call back. It's that bad. Yeah, you get the call back. It's pretty bad. Sorry about that. Call back if you can really quickly, all right? Hey, there we go. Let's see. We've got about 2 minutes. Well, 2 minutes left in the show. And just want to say thanks for all of your support, all of your prayers. Please pray for this ministry. A lot of ministries across the United States are suffering financially, and especially, I'm going to tell you something. There is just a constant spiritual attack upon churches, upon varying ministries, upon those who promote the work of God. There are churches that are going liberal. There are churches that are compromising. And you need to, I would ask you Christians, you know, I do too, you know, to pray for God's word to be preached among pastors, teachers, that the truth would go forward, that we'd have a revival. And we do need that. We need men of God to preach in the pulpit, not women of God in the pulpit, men of God in the pulpit to start preaching the truth and to not compromise. And to preach so that, if needed, that they thin the church out. Get rid of the dross, get rid of the goats. Let them go to another church. And we need to have this because we need the truth of God's word. And what I've found is, unfortunately, a lot of pastors just do not know theology very well. And I'm not saying you have to have a seminary degree and have all these things memorized, but you need to know what's going on so you can put things together properly and not teach stuff like deliverance ministry stuff, which I've been very aware of, has harmed a lot of people. It really has. And that's a whole other topic. Maybe we can talk about it next week. May the Lord bless you by His grace. I'm out of here. There's the music. I hope you have a great weekend, everybody. And by His grace, we're back on the air on Monday, and we'll talk to you then. Okay? God bless everybody.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.